Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Great selection, all with the extremely important Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department that takes care of the routine. Inspections, diagnostics, whatever it may be. And again, it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. A guy the Yankees should have destroys him.
He is 3-for-3 so far. Check that. He's had one four-hit game, and Vladdy has done it again. Way back into the second deck. Have a night, Vladdy.
Well, no sooner that you get it out of his mouth, out of your mouth, that he's had one three-homer game, he's going to do it again. Four extra base hits, 14 total bases, three home runs and a double, and a huge insurance run for the Blue Jays.
They didn't need it. The Yankees just couldn't score. Buck Martinez with the home run call, by the way, on the Blue Jays TV network last night. Opened the season with six home games and ended up 500. Okay.
Yeah, not ideal, but not an easy start either. Two tough division opponents.
He came to the plate and the Yankees threw him the ball underhand. Did they think that was the solution? Underhanded pitching? What's going on here? Just kidding. So the only area I get concerned about Vlad Guerrero Jr. is the weight part of it. Because, I mean, and he's slimmed down from where he was. It's just, can he keep his weight down? We'll see. But he is a heck of a hitter. That's as I've mentioned before, that is some offensive lineup. Wow. That is some offensive lineup they have. Ben Simmons could make his debut for the Nets in Game 4 against the Celtics.
Oh, my almighty!
Holy mackerel. I don't know. That's one from 30,000 feet. I don't get it.
Me neither. He should be shut down for the rest of the season.
But again, that's from 30,000 feet. I don't, you know. The entire year is something where you sit back and it's so frustrating and mysterious. How about that?
That is a perfect way to put it.
you're trying to be kind enough because of potential mental health issues, which have been alluded to. At the same time, you're looking at saying, it's a game, go play. Then you're looking at, okay, you're getting a ton of money, go earn it. Then he sues to get money back when he didn't show up to work. I don't know.
But the problem is the mental health thing was already exploited. Like, there's really not that much there. So he's milking it, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think there's much there. I just think he is spoiled and just needs to get over himself, and I don't think he ever will, because the way he carried and condoned himself and got away with it at LSU.
Well, he only played 1 year at LSU. He only played 1 year there, so I don't really put a lot of stock in what he did at LSU. I just don't. And that's always one of the issues that you get. I feel like the NFL draft, while not being perfect, you feel like you've got 3 years of evaluations, which I think makes a difference. With the upper guys in college basketball, you're getting a one-year evaluation. And the evaluators, for example, do not in any way, shape, or form want to go scout high school games or AAU games. If they ever get back to skipping one and done and just going directly from high school in, which does seem like a possibility, the scouts don't want to be doing that. They hated going to high school games. They hated going to AAU games to scout and see if somebody's good enough to play in the league. And it's such a roll of the dice. That's why outside of football, every other sport has a component where you know, if you want to go pro, you can go pro. Like right away. I'll give you an example. I'm one of the first guys to go pro after 3 years of playing at Penn State and then went pro. It was Matt Anderson. You're like, who's Matt Anderson? Men's volleyball player. Gold medalist on the U.S. Olympic men's volleyball team. He was in Tokyo. Key player. Matt Anderson played 3 years here, and then he went to Japan, and he turned professional and has had a great professional career. That's why I point out all the time, this is where the NCAA makes a lot of big mistakes. You do have to look at, do they have alternatives? Now, football, let's be honest about it. Football, you don't have alternatives. What are your alternatives? Playing overseas? No. Playing in a minor league? No. The XFL, which is coming back in a year, and the USFL, which is starting up this weekend, both have the same rule as the NFL does with the NFLPA. You must be out of high school for 3 years. And let's face it, both physically and emotionally, that's really smart on the part of the NFL and the NFLPA. That's really smart. Even a guy like Saquon Barkley comes in to Penn State, and you can tell right away he has, quote, a Big Ten body. When he left after 3 years, I can tell you he had an NFL-level body. Lamar Stevens, when he came to Penn State, had a Big Ten body to start with. That's a big plus. But when he left Penn State after 4 years, he had an NBA body. Plus, Saquon Barkley had NFL-level emotion, and Lamar Stevens had NBA-level emotion when they left. In other words, they had that much far more greater maturity for the time that they went through here. But there is a reality. The reality is that in the NBA, you don't have to go to college. If you want to go to the G League, you can. If you want to go to Europe, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, whatever, you can. You just watched last night in the NBA play-in game, LaMelo Ball play for the Charlotte Hornets. He didn't play college basketball. He went to Europe for a year and ended up being, I believe, the second overall pick in the draft. Players can do that in basketball. They can go directly someplace else. So when it comes to what the NCAA is doing, there has to be a realization that, hey, look, this is what we do and this is what we offer. You have other options. You can take them if you want. Except in football. Football's the one they really can't say that with. All the other sports they can say that with. Matt Anderson could have gone and played in Japan when he was 18 if he wanted to, as a volleyball player. Track and field, sure. All right. Women's basketball, you can play overseas. You don't have to go to college. So you can avoid college altogether. That's why the NCAA has always had to realize that look, quote, we're an option. But you also have other options. So you don't have to constantly say, okay, whatever, what do you need? You have to have some structure and some rules to this. And right now, we are going through a period of time between name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal, which, you know, obviously has benefited Penn State the last week in both football and basketball. There's no question Penn State benefited, and wrestling. Penn State benefited in wrestling for the transfer portal. But the rule in wrestling had not changed. All right, the rule in wrestling has always been the same. You can just transfer and wrestle right away. When they made the transfer portal change, it was for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, men's ice hockey, and baseball, where you could play right away. That's when they changed the portal. It was those five sports. You already had that rule in the other sports. And of course, name, image, and likeness. And the structure, I mean, the NCAA put forward no structure. So the Pennsylvania law might be different than the Texas law. And because there isn't any structure, you've really got a Wild West feeling and people trying to, you know, come back with collectives or rich donors putting forward big money. There's a guy at Georgia, for example. He's got money beyond money, and he wants to put his money toward players. Now, right? What does he want in return? Wins. That's all he wants. Wins. You've got some alums that are like that, where an alumnus looks over and says, you know, what do you want in return? Nothing. I want to win games. And that happens. That happens. But the NCAA is, except for football, has never come to the realization that they're an option, and if you want to choose our option, here are the rules that we play by. Dante Exum, for example, who has had a nondescript NBA career, but was the fifth overall pick in the draft with the Utah Jazz. He played in Australia. He didn't play college basketball. Look at all the guys in the NBA that get picked from Europe. Okay? Yeah, they've got a bunch of guys in the NBA that have not played college basketball, that played someplace else, including some American kids like LaMelo Ball and others. I think it was the Hampton kid went to New Zealand. He ended up being a first-round pick. Everyone thought he might be going to SMU, and instead he went to New Zealand and played. He ended up being a first-round pick. You have options. You can do that. So they have to say, okay, since you have options, go to the G League, you can go to Europe, you can go to New Zealand, Australia, Japan, whatever. You can do that. So since you have options, here are our rules if you choose us. If you choose to play college basketball, these are the rules. If you choose to play volleyball or wrestle or whatever and then extend it to football as well, here are the rules. And they've never seemed to understand that they can set their own rule structure because in the vast majority of sports, there are options. Football, there's no option. There's no real option out there. There's no minor league like the G League. You know, there is no, you know, there's no European Football League. And realistically, there shouldn't be anyway. Because realistically, being out 3 years from high school, probably both physically and emotionally, is the right time to explore it. But the NCAA, for whatever reason, lost control of this because they've been playing from behind the entire time, holding on to the amateur model as long as they could, instead of leading and saying, okay, we believe in the amateur model. We're going to modify it. This is how we're going to do it. With the idea that student athletes do have other options if they don't like your model. And in fact, if I'm the NCAA and I have, for example, a basketball player fighting me on my rules right now, that's what I would point out in court. You can do what LaMelo Ball did. You can go to Europe. You can do what Dante Exum did. You can play in Australia. Yeah. As examples, and there are countless other examples of players who have skipped going to college to play overseas for a year, and then when they're 19 years of age and 1 year out of high school, they can go to the NBA. And that you can do that in a lot of sports. It's not wise to do it in almost every sport. It's not wise at all. Hey, I think I'm going to go play professional volleyball. I'm 18. And you may not be Matt Anderson. Now, Matt Anderson was not 18. He was 21 when he went, 3 years in college. But say somebody's 18, I'm going, and they may end up getting buried, but it's an option. And the NCAA's never realized that, look, there are other options out there, so if you choose our option, here are the rules that you got to play by, including name, image, and likeness, including transfers. What's wrong with them putting together and having that kind of attitude about it? Okay? And by the way, you're going to get a college education out of it, which is critical. You're going to, you know, only 3% make it in pro and some get 97% that don't. You're going to, you know, you got a chance to walk out with a degree if you take this seriously and responsibly. Oh, well. I know it's something we're talking about over and over and over again here because we just can't keep talking about Aaron Judge missing games because, I mean, although I do like to talk about, you know, when I talk about people, I like to talk about what they do best. What? You didn't like that comment? No. I mean, Brian Reynolds signed today. You said his WAR number was ridiculous. I mean, you're really kind of hating until you realize he's played in 97% of the Pirates games in the last 3 years. That's not good. That's a higher number than 63. Like they give him the time card he punches in.
I think he'd still rather be Aaron Judge right now simply by the fact of he's on in a much better organization.
Well, he may rather be Aaron Judge because Aaron Judge is going to get what's he going to get? Nine figures?
Most likely.
Yeah, he's going to get nine figures when it's all said and done. Brian Reynolds is never going to get that kind of money. Because even though Brian Reynolds gets $13.5 million over 2 years, when the two-year contract is up, he is still two more years of control by the Pirates. He can't be a free agent. I mean, he can't be a free agent until he's 31 years old. And he's not going to earn the kind of money that Aaron Judge can. I mean, so that's the difference between the two. But to be honest with you, Brian Reynolds is a heck of a baseball player. He really is good. Just turns out he plays for Pittsburgh and not New York, but he is really good. Despite what some of the haters say. This is where you jump in as the hater.
I love Brian Reynolds.
You put him down a half an hour ago.
He's not Aaron Judge, but that goes with the eye test and not the stupid analytics. But he's a good baseball player.
Well, here's my eye test.
I'm surprised he even re-signed with the Pirates and went through with their arbitration. I thought this was going to be the end of his Pirates career, to be honest with you. Pirates got lucky that they kept him. The best thing that'll happen to the Pirates this year is they were able to re-sign Brian Hayes and Brian Reynolds.
The only thing he can do is hold out, Matt. He can't go anywhere. The Pirates have total control over him for 4 years. He didn't have any options. His options were to play 4 one-year contracts or like, okay, I'm going to get a 2-year contract that's friendly and avoids arbitration. Because when he's done with this 2-year contract, he's still under Pirate control for 2 more years.
Right.
I mean, so he didn't really have a lot of options. That's why Judge is still a Yankee. Judge has been there. The Yankees have had control of his contract the entire time. Judge didn't have any options. Well, now at the end of this year, if he's not signed by the Yankees, he's got options. I mean, that's... I mean, which one of the two would I have? Rather have it, rather have Aaron Judge. But I'll tell you right now, if I had Brian Reynolds and I was on a contender, if I had a contender and Brian Reynolds was one of my outfielders, I'd be a really happy guy. Really happy. He's a really good, solid, professional baseball player. Who, by the way, is durable. I mean, he does go away. He plays almost every game. All right. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. That's the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And the service department just does a great job. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, fabulous. And again, if you are somebody that really enjoys a great buying experience, Sunbury Motors is the place for you. They're one-stop vehicle shopping. Great work. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So. Right now, the single most valuable franchise in the world at $7 billion. Is? Go ahead.
Man U?
No, the New York Yankees.
Wow.
It's worth $7 billion. So, yeah, quite the deal there. $7 billion if you want to buy the Yankees. Now, the Steinbrenners are not putting the Yankees up for sale anytime soon. But that's why you see, for example, the Denver Broncos. Rob Walton is alleged to be spending $4.5 to $5 billion to buy the Broncos. The Broncos ownership, the Bolin family, wants a minimum of $4 billion. It looks like they might be able to get near $5 billion when it's all said and done. Which will be a record, by the way, for any franchise. I believe the highest number ever paid for a franchise might be the Carolina Panthers at $2.2 billion by David Tepper. Because there haven't been a lot of franchises for sale of late. With the Bolin family, Pat Bolin passed away. And they decided to put the franchise up for sale. Most of the other owners in the NFL, for example, have been owning teams for a long time. But it is amazing. I mean, you look at what the value of a sports franchise, it is stunning. It's stunning. I mean, the Yankees are worth $7 billion and won a World Series. And I mean, you're a 10-year-old kid, the Yankees never won a World Series with you there. I believe that's accurate, isn't it? Yeah, so I thought.
Unfortunately, yes.
What do you mean, unfortunately? Come on. What's going on here? I mean, we're trying to talk in facts on this show. For some reason, you just, like, you don't grasp that. It's been 13 years.
Yeah. The 09 championship was my junior year of high school.
And remember, you really had to luck out to get that one. All right, so...
that year was good for me as a sports fan. The Eagles made the playoffs, albeit got roasted by Dallas, but they still made the playoffs. Yankees won the World Series.
I thought you hated the Cowboys.
Yeah. I did hate the Cowboys, I was happy that they made the playoffs. Even though it ended badly, losing to the Cowboys.
Oh.
See, I had those two things, plus the Flyers. That was the year of the Flyers' Stanley Cup final run, too. So that was a good year for me.
Well, as long as it kept you calm. All right. The Cowboys are number one in the NFL at $6.5 billion. The Patriots at $5 billion. Giants, $4.85 billion. Rams, $4.8 billion. Washington is $4.2 billion. The Commanders. 49ers, $4.2 billion. Bears, $4.075. The Jets, $4.05 billion. Eagles are worth $3.8 billion. The Broncos here, they say the value of the franchise is $3.75. Yet they may get close to $5 billion in the sale. Texans, $3.7 billion. Seahawks, $3.5 billion. Packers, $3.475 billion. Steelers are worth $3.43 billion. Dolphins, $3.4 billion. Raiders, $3.4 billion. Ravens, $3.4 billion. Vikings, $3.4 billion. Colts, $3.3 billion. Falcons, $3.2 billion. Buccaneers, $2.94 billion. Chiefs, $2.93 billion. Chargers, $2.92 billion. Panthers, $2.91 billion. Saints, $2.825 billion. Jaguars, $2.8 billion. Cardinals, $2.65 billion. I don't know what makes the Jaguars more valuable, but that's whatever. Cardinals, $2.65 billion. Titans, $2.625 billion. Browns, $2.6 billion. Detroit, $2.4 billion. Bengals, $2.275 billion. And the Bills are worth $2.27 billion. Now, when they build that new stadium, that Bills number will go up. That number will go up after they build the stadium. And somebody asked, why are the Eagles so high? Because why aren't the Eagles higher? And it had something to do with location. I don't know what that means. What? No?
Not good? No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
So they say the Yankees are worth $7 billion. The New York Knicks are worth $5 billion. And again, that's all location and the garden, okay? The ownership for the Knicks paid $300 million for the garden and for the franchise in 1997. They're now worth $5 billion. Golden State Warriors are worth $4.7 billion. The Lakers are worth $4.6 billion. Let's see. Man U, you mentioned, is worth $4.2 billion. Liverpool, $4.1 billion. The Rams, let's see. Rams, Manchester City, $4
billion. Wow, Man U's really dropped off. Because they used to be the number one franchise, but I mean, they've had a lot of turnover since they won their last championship and all that a few years ago, but...
Yeah, but this isn't just championships. It's just total value. They were purchased in 2008 for $385 million, and they're worth $4 billion. They've gone up in value 108% in 5 years. 108% they've gone up in 5 years. Liverpool's gone up 165% in 5 years. Man U has gone up 27%. In 5 years. So City's gone up more, even though Man U's worth more, $4.2 billion. City is worth $4 billion. The Dodgers, let's see, $3.57 billion. Who else here? Eagles, by the way, have gone up 42% in 5 years. Jeffrey Lurie paid $185 million. They're now worth $3.4 billion. Cubs, $3.36 billion. The Chicago Bulls, $3.3 billion. The Celtics, $3.2 billion. Chelsea Soccer, $3.2 billion. San Francisco Giants baseball team. Gone up to $3.18 billion. Let's see, who else here has climbed through these numbers? Lots of NFL teams, lots of Arsenal. Stan Kroenke owns the Rams, also owns Arsenal. $2.8 billion. Value's gone up 39% in 5 years. Now, he paid $1.1 billion for Arsenal in 2011. Clippers, $2.75 billion. He paid $2 billion for that team 8 years ago. Brooklyn Nets are $2.65 billion. Now they're the ones that had the highest price. Joseph Tsai paid $3.2 billion for the Nets. They've actually gone down in value, but they're up 56% in 5 years. I mean, when the new TV contract kicks in, it's worth even more. Anybody else? Houston Rockets, $2.5 billion, worst record in the NBA. The Mets, $2.45 billion. Steve Cohen bought the team for $2.42 billion. Dallas Mavericks, $2.5 billion. Mark Cuban's team, up 75% in 5 years. He paid $280 million for it. So, all right, let's give you some guests for next week. Tom Hanifin and Rich Scarcella will join us on Monday's show. Matt McGloin and Neil Kulong on Tuesday's show. Sandy Barber on Wednesday show. Tyler Donahue on Thursday show. Aeneas Hawkins and Brian Tripp on Friday show, along with the King. How about that? That's next week's lineup. Okay? Hope you're satisfied.
Sounds like a good week to me.
Another week where you don't have to do any work. All right. So, there we go. No wonder it sounds good to you. Must be great like you to coast. All right. Coasting home. Big holiday weekend. You're coasting home. Got any big plans this weekend?
We're actually laying kind of low this week. We'll be doing Easter egg hunt with the boys, of course. Mm-hmm. Wish it was a little warmer for Easter Sunday. But other than that...
We'll do it Saturday.
It's a possibility. We have a lot to do on Saturday, but yeah.
Do I have to come up with all the ideas?
Either way, I'd still like for it to be warmer on Easter Sunday. But all these nice 70-degree days, I've been in shorts the last 2 days, and now I'm going to go back to pants for Easter Sunday? Come on now.
Oh. Classless. All right. wow. Actually, I started out the day wearing shorts, and then I had to change into a jacket and slacks because I unfortunately had to go to a funeral today. So, Bill Jaffe died 10 days ago. On April 4th, 83. Had played golf earlier that day and then passed away that evening. He gave, first of all, Bill's a great guy. He and his late wife, Honey Jaffe, were constant presence at everything at Penn State. Belisario College of Communications gave money. Palmer Museum of Art gave money. Penn State Athletics gave money. Volleyball program in particular gave money. I volunteered on this board, that board, this board, that board, Lion's Paw, Distinguished Alumnus Award, the whole deal. And, you know, people were shocked that he, you know, at his passing. But I went over to that today. And I'll freely admit, it's the first time I've ever been in a synagogue. So I give the rabbi a lot of credit. The prayers were in Hebrew, and then he translated into English for the rest of us. And so, yeah, but Bill was an awesome guy, and that's why, you know, I went over to that this morning. And a huge crowd there, because he was just beloved by so many people. He's just thoroughly, completely beloved. And should have been, because Bill was an awesome guy. All right, we will take a break. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, where we're Aaron Judge 24/7. I will say that in terms of the numbers, the offensive line, the numbers part of it improved yesterday and has a chance of improving a little bit more in the next day or two. So we'll see. Like I said, none of this stuff was season-ending. None of it. But it's just, it's amazing how you'll get a run on guys getting banged up, and how it'll all be the same position. It's stunning in all the years that I have broadcast it. And you'll say, you know, let's just pick a position. Let's pick defensive tackle. You'll start the season, you'll have five or six defensive tackles you feel good about, and all of a sudden, like, oh, he got hurt, and he got hurt, and he's out a few games. And all of a sudden, you're looking around like, okay, now they're using somebody who you didn't expect was going to be using to be a second-team defensive tackle because you had a run on injuries there. It's amazing how that happens. It's crazy. I don't know why it happens that way. You know, something will happen, and then something else happens, and then something else, and you're thinking, what the heck's the rash? What's going on with this? And that's what happened with the offensive line during the course of the spring. And slowly but surely, some guys are, you know, getting back into the mix, which is good. But they'll be critical, obviously. Yeah, you can't win without them, so...
I do wonder how chemistry is going to go, especially early on in the season with all the shuffling around, especially when you're trying to establish the run game.
The season's not.
I know you still have a while yet, but...
I mean, they're not playing yet. All the guys that, like, for example, the guys that didn't practice last Friday, they're all going to be back with complete ease. In fact, some might be back next week, but I'm saying, but you know, they've got plenty of time to develop that. That's not an issue, because no matter what happens, you're going to have 4 months off between a blue-white game and an actual game. So that doesn't come into play as an issue. If you're losing guys in the preseason, then it becomes an issue. And that's where it becomes an issue. I just want, you know, You want to keep as many guys as healthy as possible. I mean, there are certain elements that you went into the spring that you knew. Like, for example, you knew you weren't going to have P.J. Mustafa out there. There was one of the offensive linemen going in, which I knew back in January he wasn't going to be available. You know. Doesn't mean he's not coming back for the regular season, but I knew he wasn't going to be available. You know. One of the defensive ends, I knew he wasn't going to be able to go in the spring. You know. I mean, that stuff happens. That's just circumstances.